Good morning. Let's give God a real hand clap of praise today. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. This week, I heard him practice this song earlier this week, and you know, it's been a week where just been able to reflect on the goodness of God, the grace of God, the care of God, the compassion of God. And, you know, if you really consider your life from time to time, where you've been, where you come from, how God has kept you, what he's seen you through, what he's gotten you through, you can't help but find gratitude in your heart. Say amen. I mean, you shouldn't have to really, I know we go through hell sometimes, you know, and some we're not always having a good week and a good day. I understand that. But there should be just a natural flow of gratitude in our hearts. Because for many of us, I mean, God has gotten us through some very, very tough circumstances. And so, you know, like in a moment, like I exalt thee or whatever, that shouldn't be something that we have to, you know, sing it seven times until, you know, we go up in, you know, another, what's that called? Up a key? What's it called? An octave, yeah, one of those. And, I mean, it shouldn't be there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we should just kind of come in just knowing God is good. And, you know, this morning, I've been overwhelmed this week, really thinking, how cool is it that me and Sean, me and my family, me and you get to do this together again? Because, you know, that's part of, yeah, just, but that's grace, that's God. And this week, it's kind of just hit me right upside the head again that, you know, God truly is good. God is a great God. And if you'll just hang with him, he'll hang with you. You know, he made a promise. He's not going to walk away. He's not going to abandon us. And he didn't say, you know, with a semicolon, however, and put all these little, you know, outs. I mean, he just said, here's the deal. I'm not going to walk away from you. And when you can reflect on the moments, whether it's that, you know, the footprints in the sand type of stuff, or whether it's mountaintop, when you can reflect and look back and really know that, I mean, when your faith was just like a little, just a thread, a little shard, just almost gone, and yet somehow God found ways to just speak back into your life, or at the right moment, you know, he found a way to say something to you in ways that made sense to only you. And you know he keeps you. Amen? And that's kind of where we're at today. We're in John chapter 6, but really I just want to talk to you today about you can trust God. You know, we've been talking about faith for a number of weeks, and we've got a couple more weeks that, you know, I feel God's laid on my heart, but you absolutely can trust God. You see, faith is going to be tied to trust. And I think that a great part of what we struggle with in faith is, do we really trust him to work out the difficult parts of our life? Whether, you know, whether it's sickness or you know, things going on in the marriage or the home or your kids' lives or your career or whatever. I don't think it's necessarily that we don't have faith he can. I'm just not sure we always believe he will. And especially when you can't, I mean, if you're like me, I like knowing how things are going to turn out. Anyone else? Yeah, I mean, that's how we are, is it not? I just want to know how a story's going to end. I mean, as long as I know there's something good here, I'll go through all the stuff. But when I'm unsure of how it works out, it's hard to go through the stuff. And the truth is, there are going to be times in our life, it's not going to work out the way we thought it should. Say amen. But our conclusion can't be, that's wrong. See, that's where we get in trouble, is when we conclude that the way it turned out was worse than the way we thought it should have turned out, then trust becomes a factor in our life. Do you see that? And so we're going to talk about that today. We're in John chapter 6, Let me see. We're in verse 66. Let me kind of set this up for a moment. In the Bible, several verses above that, it just simply says many disciples begin to turn away, right? And so where Christ is, he's went into some pretty hard teaching, some deeper things, and people are walking away from him now. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples now, it doesn't say just people that were hanging out. These were disciples, went back and walked with him how often? What's it say? No more. I mean, they walk away. They're done. And then Jesus said to the 12 or the apostles, do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter, he's not only speaking for him, he's speaking for them. Because he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And verse 69 is what I really want you to see today. It says, we've also come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, did I not choose you, the 12? And then he really makes them happy and he says, one of you is what? The devil. I mean, just think if here's how we would play that out. If we have everyone walking away from us, we really want to try to talk them into staying, don't we? I mean, we want to talk about it. Hey, what's going on? What's wrong? Jesus sees all these disciples walking away and he just says, okay, how's it going to be? You go on, you stay in. You walking with me or you walking away from me? And I just want to tell you, there's going to be moments in our journey where things are not going like we think they should. And you may never be asked that question point blank from Christ, but life is going to ask you that question. Are you going to walk with Christ through this, or are you going to end up walking away from him right now? Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us be here. I pray, God, that you would open our hearts, our minds, our spirit, our soul, God. The very essence and core of who we are, we open to you and trust you, God, that you're going to do something that matters in each of our lives today. We thank you for the gift of music and song, God, the chance to just remind ourselves that we need to do a better job of elevating you in our lives, God. So we open our hearts today and ask that our faith and our trust in you would be strengthened. I pray you speak through me, God, clearly and effectively today. And we just thank you for all you're doing in Christ's name. And each of us would say, amen. See if you can finish this saying with me. And if you can, I mean, I want to hear you. Starlight. Good job. First star I see tonight. I wish I may. Have the wish. Wow, I didn't really expect y'all to be on that like that. That's really good. Now let's quote Exodus 7:9. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know what that says. But I was thinking the other day just about faith and also how all the places we put wishes in our life. And here's some that I wrote down that I know, you know, people kind of do. The wishing well, you know, you throw a quarter or whatever in. A birthday wish with the candles, shooting star, make a wish. First star you see at night, make a wish. If you ever find the genie's bottle, I mean, that's cool. Get three wishes, right? The wishbone, you know, we even pull it out of food now. We can do that. The eyelash, you're supposed to blow it away. You know, the dandelion is one of them. The ladybug, if it lands on you. And then at Christmas, our kids come up with a Christmas wish list. And what I was really thinking about is not so much whether wishes and all that stuff, but it just seems that we always want to kind of have help from somewhere else. It's like, I wish this would happen. I wish that would happen. I wish this would go on. You know, and I mean, I don't know that we take that real seriously so much as I just think there's something in us that says, I need help. And so at a secular level, it's dandelions and ladybugs and, you know, the lottery tickets and stuff like that. But at a spiritual level, it's faith. I mean, it's our desire for God, the unseen God, to be a part of our life. And it's much more important than a wish, is it not? Because it's our prayer life, it's our Sunday morning life, it's our Tuesday life. Everything we do revolves around this faith that we hope, we believe, we trust that there is a real God out there, and he's going to participate in our lives in the good and the bad. Amen? And so that's really what we're taking a huge chance on, but we're doing it with a calculated risk, believing there is a God, there is a heaven, I'm going to it, and when I'm having a bad day, if I invite him into my life, he's going to give me a hand. So where we are in Scripture, John 6, Jesus, as I said, is teaching some really difficult things. And he says to them, to the apostles, as he's watching people walk away, no doubt, are you going to leave also? In other words, where's your faith going to be right now? Are you going to stay? Are you going to go? And Simon Peter, you have to love him. Listen to what he says. We've come to believe. It's one thing to believe. It's another thing to do what he says next. And we know. We know that you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Now, where we are with them, they've walked with Christ somewhere around 2 years as of now, right? So for about 2 years, they've walked with him. What is that up there? Are we still reading Scripture? No, get rid of that. Everyone's staring at it. They're not listening to me. We're walking with Christ for about 2 years, and they say, listen, we believed, and now we know. And the word know is an experiential thing. It means that we have experienced the truth that you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. We believed it. We've walked with you long enough. We've seen enough credible evidence to believe and know you're the guy. Been there. How many of you have ever gotten to the place to where you not only believe it, but you believe you know that he's the guy? Everyone raise your hand, please. If not, let's just pray. We've all been there, right? I believe he's the Christ, and I know. I mean, I can look back in my life and find places that I know he's shown up and made a difference in my life. And then you flash forward about a year in time. You get to John chapter 14. They're in the upper room. They think Jesus is the Savior of the world in a political, governmental way. And he's sitting with them and he says this, I'm going to die. This is my last dinner with you guys. My time is over. And of course, you know, they're like, no way. We didn't see this coming. No way. And you know what he says to them? He says, you trusted in God. You can trust in me. You believe in God, you can believe in me. And then you know the next part, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so. But you see, they were having a hard time with the God they can't see and the God they could see. Because they thought he was going to do something completely different than what's about to happen in their world. And so their faith is literally on the rocks right now. Can we trust him or can't we? We came to believe and know. We made a clarion declaration. He's the guy. 12 months later, he's leaving us. And he says, listen, as much as you've trusted God, you can trust me. And again, Genesis, there's going to be times when that's going to be called on the carpet big time. Can I truly trust him right now? I know he can. I've seen him do it before. I've seen him heal. I've seen him restore. I've seen him redeem. I've seen him save. I've seen him set people free. I know he can. I'm just not sure he will right now. How many understand? This is not what I thought was going to happen here, Lord. And all at once, he's trying to talk to their trust. You see, I think a lot of our faith gets confused with trust. Because I think we have confidence in his ability. We're just not sure his will is my will right now. And man, that is difficult sometimes. Because I know that I know better for me than he knows. Come on, don't get saved all at once here, right? And so there's going to be times to where I really have to dig deep and trust that though this is not going the way I wanted it to, that he knows better than I do. Here's what the Bible says, and I know I passed out outlines today, and I don't know if I've got any notes on them yet. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 3. I'll kind of give you a spot where I'm at now. He says, trust in the Lord with how much? How much of it? All of your heart. And listen to what he says, and I'm going to explain it in a moment. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct your paths. Now, listen to the first verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on what? Let me tell you what it means. Trust. Be confident in, secure, and feel safe in the Lord. Feel confident in God in you. Feel safe in God right now. Feel safe in the Lord with all of your heart, and don't lean. Here's what it means. Don't trust your understanding more than your trust in him. Don't trust. Don't support. Listen. Don't support your own understanding. You ever been there where you're telling you why you believe what you believe and he's making a mistake right now? Come on, don't. Or here's what else it means. Don't stop on your own understanding. Because you'll be explaining it and you'll just stop right there. The way I see it, this is what should be going on. The way I understand it, God should be. And if you stop right there, you solidify your own reasoning. And he says, you want the comparative analysis of walking with trust? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't give credibility to your own understanding when you can't connect the dots. In all your ways, in all your journey, in all of your habits, acknowledge, confess him. And he will direct or make pleasing your paths. There's going to be times, and I love this quote, it's one of my most favorite quotes, when you can't trace his hand, you can always trust his heart. Let's say that together. When you can't trace his hand, you can always trust his heart. Why don't you tell the person beside you that? They need to know that. When you can't trace his hand, you can always trust his heart. I want to give you three things you can always trust about God or about Christ. Here's what Christ said, by the way. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father, you've seen me. In other words, they're the same. He said, I can't do anything except what the Father shows me. So when you're watching Christ in the Gospels, you're seeing God. You understand? And when you read about God, you're seeing Christ. I mean, they're synonymous. They're the Godhead, Spirit, Father, and Son, all together. And so when you see that, you see him. When you see him, you see that. Three things that you can always, always, always trust about him. And the first thing is his character. A character is described as the attributes or the defining or distinguishing traits that makes an individual apart from others. His character. It's the actions that stem from what lives within us. Jesus Christ consistently responded to us from his character. Scripture is how he chose to reveal himself to us. And here's what Scripture says about God and his character. That he's a God of mercy. That he's a God of grace. Say thank God. That he's a mighty God. That he's a wise God. Wise means he's smarter than us. That he's a just God. He's never unfair. That he's the defender of our souls. That he's a good God. That he's able. He's a God that's near us. He's the God that fought for us. He is the God that is our strength. He's the helper. He's the refuge. He's greater. He is exalted. He's the God that is my salvation. He is the God that is faithful. He is the God that is among us. And then the greatest definition to me of all for our lives is God is love. Of all the things God could have said about himself, amen. Of all the things he could have said, I mean, he could have given us words we could never pronounce. And he says, God is love. That's his character. God is what? Say it like you believe it. I got to tell you, if you were two speakers like this, it always sounds like this speaker's not working. God is what?
Love.
God is love. And so you have to understand, if God is going to act toward us in anything, he's going to act out of his character. And the premier character of God is, he is love. If you want to know how God's going to act toward you, in Genesis, it was love. In Revelation, it was love. In Jesus, it's love. I mean, the stories are repetitive. God is always acting toward us in love, always. You see, we all have a character. We all do. And we act out of who we are. The Bible says God will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It says he's not a human is what it says. Anyone married with someone that their attitude changes from time to time? Just look beside you right now. Don't be scared. And that's what God wants us to know. He's not a man. He's not a woman. He's not human. He doesn't change. He doesn't get up on Monday mad at us and then get to Sunday and he's happy with us. He is always the same. How's God going to treat me when I sin out of love? How's God going to treat me when I walk away from him out of love? How's God going to treat me when I'm going through difficult things in my home out of love? How's God going to treat my kids and my wife and all the other things in my life? Out of love. What about when I'm sick and I'm going through tough stuff? He's still coming from love. What about when my bills aren't paid and I can't figure it out? He's still acting out of love. If you want to know how he's going to act, it's how he's always acted. The Bible says when we were yet sinners, he died for us. If he loved me then, he has not quit loving me now. Can we give him a hand today? Amen. But the stories, all the stories in the Bible are of love. I mean, he's a redeeming God. He's a restoring God. He's a saving God. It's over and over. It's what the book is about. I mean, look around you seriously for a moment. You are looking at people that could tell you stories of God's love. Because he's a loving God. Amen? And then, also, you can trust God to always be consistent. Find any story you want to, he's consistent. Study the Gospels, he's consistent. When Jesus found anybody, it didn't matter how they got into the pit they got into. It didn't matter what their history was. It didn't matter how many times or how long or whatever. It was the same. He was consistent with every one of them, was he not? His compassion is also the last thing you can trust. And I want to spend a moment here. Jesus is walking one time and he sees a group of people that need him desperately. And the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. And what that means is literally inside his gut, his heart, it was leaping to want to do something for people. You see, as he walked along at 12 years old, his compassion was leaping out of him. says he stayed at the temple to start doing his father's business. His parents had to go find him and bring him back. When he walked in the church one day, and he found all kinds of man-made stuff that was between the people and God, he destroyed all the man-made stuff. And here's what the Gospels say. And the blind and the lame were able to come in and be prayed for. Also, at a funeral, the shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus what? He wept. In our most difficult parts of life, his compassion still weeps with us. We have a God that weeps with us, or weeps for us, a God that shows up in the difficult parts of our life. When sinners came to him, he acted out of compassion consistently, and he forgave them. When the world was ready to literally destroy them, he forgave them. When a leper came running to him one day, and leprosy was like the spiritual cancer of the day, where if you had it, you couldn't go home, you couldn't go to the temple. There was no way for a leper to make it right with God. That's just the laws that man had put in place. And they came running up to Jesus, and he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean today. And you know what he said? He said, I'm willing. Be made clean. He's always going to operate out of that. For God so loved the world that he gave. How's God going to treat me? How's God going to treat my marriage? How's God going to treat my home and my family? How's God going to take care of the things that I care about? Out of love. He always has. Now I can tell you, I could almost take you to the spot in my backyard in a recent moment of my life to where my thread was down to it. I mean, my faith was a thread and it was like unraveling. And I can tell you where I looked up at the sky and I said, I don't know, man. I'm not sure about this anymore. And how God somehow scooped me up and got me back in a place to where, in a moment, I'm not talking about 10 years, in a moment, my faith began to get restored. And you see, it wasn't that I didn't know that he could. I just didn't know if he would. And that's the toughest parts of our faith, is it not? When I don't know how my story is going to play out. And my friend, what I've tried to tell you in a couple easy ways today is that you can absolutely trust him. It's not faith always. It's trust. What's he going to do? I don't know. How's it going to work out? I don't know. But I promise you, you can trust him. I don't understand exactly. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't support your own understanding right now. Don't feed it. Don't give credence to it. Don't build up your comprehension, because it's going to be antagonistic toward trusting God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Be confident in. Feel safe in. Be bold in your trusting God. And don't lean, don't find support in your understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. Declare him. Confess him. Name him over all those areas, and he will make your path pleasing. But you have to put him in the difficult areas. You can't keep putting him there by faith and then leaving him there by lack of trust. Does that make sense? There are parts of my life, there are parts of it, like any of us, it's not the way I would want it to be. But that doesn't mean I can default to, and because I understand it differently, I can't trust him. I can trust his character. I've watched him. I've watched him in your lives. I've watched him in my life. I know how he operates. And he's always cared for me. Always. And he's always been consistent. He's not woke up mad one day and happy one day and down and out. And I know what I'm going to get from God all the time. Amen? And then out of his compassion fails not. Every day, his love toward me is a giving love. And so, my friend, I want to pray for you today. And I want you to really wrestle with that. In that area, do you trust God? It's not, do you think he can? And maybe it's not even, do you think he will? It's maybe trusting whatever he wills to do there. It may not work out the way you want it to. But that doesn't mean you can't trust him. It may not play out as quickly as you'd like it to. That doesn't mean you can't trust him. He cannot operate opposite of his character, because God is love. He can't be anything other than that. He's the same. As I pray today, if you want to make a journey up to this altar and maybe just take a moment and say, you know what? I do trust you. Reflecting in my life, I find all these pockets. You've always been good to me. And I trust you in that area. And when you get out of here and you got to deal with the tangible again, just remind yourself, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I'm not going to give credence to my own comprehension right now. I'm not going to solidify my own thinking in this, because that keeps me from trusting him. And I'm going to acknowledge him in that area. I confess you in this area, God. And I do trust you, and you will make my path pleasant in this area. As I pray, if you would just need to or want to respond to this today, would you just come find a place at the altar? I mean, I told you, I believe in the altars, man, and I believe in that journey. It's a journey of surrender. It's good for you to do. So as we pray, would you come find a place to pray today? Father, thank you so much for letting us be here. Thank you, God, that you are the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. You are the God of love. You are the God of grace and mercy. You're the God of compassion. And I pray for my friends right now, God, that if they have areas in their lives that it's just tough, God, it's tough to connect the dots. And there are times we feel like wanting to walk away and we don't know how to walk with you. And oh, I just pray, God, that you would help my friends just declare their trust in you today. And no matter what the arguments are, no matter what's going on in their own comprehension, that they would not give credence to that. But even in the area that's most difficult, they would acknowledge and confess and profess you today. Trust in you, God, that you will make their paths straight. You will make them pleasant in their lives, God. Genesis, as these pray, if there's others here today that you would like to pray and If nothing else, would you come pray for a friend today? And maybe you want to be up here today, or maybe you'd feel comfortable asking the person beside you, would you like to pray? Maybe someone needs to pray and they just don't have the confidence to make the journey. Would you just ask the person beside you, would you like to go pray? It's an easy question. Sing it. Of our faith journey, we'll get to where, you know, we're able to say, hey, I believe and I know he's the guy. You're going to live on that for a moment. It's going to work. It's all going to come together. And it would be great if it was static. You could just hold on to it. Hey, I got it. It's good. There's going to be a moment like the upper room where Christ just kind of says, I know you thought it was going to go like this, but here's how this is going to go now. And that's the moment where you're going to have to dig down and really figure out what you believe. Do you really trust him? Do you really believe in the difficult parts of your life that he's still a good God? He's still a God of love, and he's still consistent, that he's not treating you any differently than he would treat anybody else. And do you believe he's acting out of love toward you, out of compassion? If you can settle those issues, man, I think you can get through anything. Amen. I love you guys. I hope you keep growing. Next week, I'm so stoked about next Sunday, where what I feel God's going to do for us. It's just so cool how God kind of puts pieces together, and we got one or two more weeks in this series, and I would just encourage you, you know, I know some of us have a lot going on in our life, but if there's any way you can be here, and if there's any way you can bring somebody that they just need to know that they can trust and believe in God, I want you to invite them. Just buy them a Starbucks on the way here. If you got to bribe them, but bribe them. I mean, get them here, because I'm telling you, God is eternal. God's already in next Sunday. We just have to go through the calendar. And what I feel God is just put in my and our spirit, some of us, for Sunday is, to me, it's incredible. I'm very excited. And tonight is, you know, our community night we're doing. If you can help with that, you know, if you have or haven't signed up or whatever, just talk to somebody. I guarantee there's a place to help. And Anyway, it's a good day, you know. He's a God of love. He's consistent. And he always acts out of compassion. Always. Father, we love you today. I'm grateful that I can look back in not only the good, but the most difficult parts of my life and find that you've always treated me the same. That you've always acted out of the character of which I've read about. And you've always been a God of love to me. I thank you for that. And I truly do trust you. Go with us today, God. Give us high favor tonight with this community, with our friends and family. Thank you for Genesis and the group of people that make this happen every week, God, and the group that's not even here yet that we will reach for Christ. Thank you. I pray that you would bless each of us in special ways this week, that we would find you in new ways. We thank you for it. And amen. God bless you guys. I love y'all.